Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good morning. This is the background of my wife's phone. There are hundreds, there are thousands. Actually, I think in one case, there are hundreds of thousands of notifications there. There's news apps, there's entertainment, there's music. They're all competing for her attention. And every time I see this, it gives me anxiety. But what we're seeing here is part of a much broader trend, the rise of media fragmentation. Having a choice of content used to be a luxury. Now it's an imperative. In addition to this, we demand to have access to all of this content on the multiple different types of devices that we carry with us and that we also have at home too. But here's the challenge. Having all of this different type of content doesn't necessarily mean that we're paying attention to it all of the time. We only have so much attention that we can give, right? Harvard Business School have done research into attention, and they found a couple of really interesting things. The first thing they found is that attention is now becoming one of the most indispensable metrics for marketers to look at when formulating their media strategies. The second thing that they found was that the competition for attention has become so great and the value placed on it so high that they actually liken it more towards a currency than a metric. But there's one thing that's always captured my attention, and that is entertainment. When I was younger, I was a bit of a rock and emo music fan. I used to love bands like Blink-182, like The Offspring, Hoobastank, Good Charlotte. I'd buy their albums, I'd take them home, and I'd listen to them from start to finish, uninterrupted. The same is true of movies. I've always loved movies, and probably my favorite movies are the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight Batman trilogy. When each one of those came out, I'd go to cinema, I'd watch it, and I can still watch those films completely captivated now. They're just a great form of entertainment. I also used to play a lot of games consoles. Probably my favorite game I've ever played was GTA Vice City. I completed that game, but then just kept on playing, trying to complete every mission in there. I just really enjoyed being immersed in the world of the game. It was such a great form of entertainment. And I'm a Chelsea fan. And so whilst that hasn't been too much of an entertaining experience this season, I have found myself very engaged and attentively watching them play over the years. All of this entertainment is also on TikTok. People are spending more than a movie's worth of time a day watching TikTok in the UK. And it's the types of videos that you might expect there to be there, be that highlights clips, be that clips from certain pieces of content. But there's also the community's own take on that entertainment too. And so this is a bit of a preview into what I see on my For You page based on my interests. I recently discovered that there's a community on TikTok of people my age who were also into emo music when they were younger and quite frankly still are. We call ourselves the Elder Emos. It's a hashtag on TikTok. You can check it out. Don't take my word for it. And recently, the Elder Emos responded to their parents, who when they were younger and they were listening to this emo music, and would tell them that it was just a phase. This is what the Elder Emo community responded to their parents with.
It's a lifestyle!
We'll play it again, because you need to hear the first bit.
Taunt! It was never a phase! It's a lifestyle! Cause I got your picture, I'm coming with you, dear Maria, count me in. There's a story at the bottom of this bubble.
There's a whole trend of everyone talking about how they still secretly listen to emo music and they're not ashamed to admit it. Blink-182 have also had a resurgence on TikTok recently, and that's manifested itself in lots of different ways. Clips from their old gigs, the band are pretty active on TikTok too. But what I thought was quite interesting was this viral meme, actually. It's really short, but it's just a great example of a really short piece of content having impact on TikTok that you'd be surprised how many people have been a part of and taken a part of this trend.
Where are you? I'm over here.
There's a lot of people with their pets being a part of that trend, but it's a simple, very natively TikTok trend. And it's also using an old classic for any Blink-182 fans. I'm sure you recognized the track there too. GTA 6 speculation is rife on TikTok. And this particular clip, I won't play the video, but this is two people from the community who've got wind of who's been casted as voiceovers for the game, and then they're trying to read into what that's going to mean when the game eventually does get released. And for anyone who's a fan of GTA 6 or GTA franchise, then you'll know how hotly anticipated this game is and how much discussion and commentary there has been online about when it's going to finally be released. And when it comes to films like The Dark Knight, then the other day I saw something pretty interesting. I saw an orchestral version of the Dark Knight score, which is really cool. But actually, this is the clip that I want to share with you, which also popped up in my For You page, which is Hans Zimmer, who wrote the score to The Dark Knight Rises, who started using an effect platform on TikTok, which is a lens which you can interact with, and started answering trivia questions about his scores. So we'll just play this one.
These are my scores. Interestingly, I have any memories left off. Oh, look at that. Look at that. I hope it comes off. Blade Runner. Right, okay. Denis Villeneuve phoned me, and I was supposed to go on tour the next day, and I said to him, no way will this ever happen. And I said, absolutely no way. And I promise you, within 10 minutes, he opened the door, came in, showed me the film. I came up with something. That was that. It was just an adventure in one night.
He does also reveal his favorite score that he's ever written on his TikTok account. So I'm not going to reveal it, but worth checking out later if you have the time. And when it comes to football, I'm definitely not going to be sharing any clips of Chelsea playing this season. But what I do get a lot of on my feed is behind the scenes of the punditry. And this has actually become quite a trend on TikTok, just the amount of content around the pundits for platforms like Sky Sports. And so this is a behind the scenes clip of the interplay between Micah Richards and Roy Keane, which personally is something I think a relationship which I find just hilarious.
Well, you brought a pet lynch. What is this nonsense? I'm sorry.
Roy Keane's ham sandwich there at their lunch. So attention has always captured our attention. And in fact, all this entertainment is on TikTok. Kantar recently launched their media reactions survey. And what they found was that TikTok was the number one platform for capturing both consumer and marketing attention. Reach-based media planning has been a key consideration for marketers when driving brand growth. It's been relied on as a way of reaching a sufficient volume of audience in order to drive penetration of that audience to drive growth. The challenge, though, is that not all reach is created equal. Attention quality and the quality of that impression matter. This week, we're launching a white paper, which we've done in partnership with WARC, which researches into the role that attention plays with short form video. We've looked at it across the funnel to understand the impact of attentiveness with short form video across the marketing funnel. And there's some interesting takeouts that I'm going to share. The first is that the white paper finds three characteristics about short form video that make it uniquely placed in order to capture attention. The first is that short-form video is immediate. It engages our system one neural networks, which are the neural networks associated with the rapid processing of information. It doesn't require us to have cognitive active thoughts. It's instant reaction when we're watching short-form video. We don't actively think about it. The second finding that makes short-form video unique when it comes to attention is that short form video is immersive. It plays full screen and it plays sound on. On platforms like TikTok, it's also personalized, and there's a form of discovery of new content based on the way that TikTok's For You page works, where you see content based on what you're interested in, not necessarily who you follow. And that creates a more immersive experience for the user. And the final dimension about short form video is that it's multi-sensory. I've mentioned that it's short, that it's sound on and it's full screen, but with the addition of text, with music, with transitions, all these elements add to the cognitive overlay of short form video in order to enrich the experience and make it unique for capturing attention. And so when we looked into the impact of short form video, we found something really interesting. What we found was when you compare the impact by second of short form video versus long form video, the impact and the attention quality is greater on short form video. And this makes it attentionally efficient. The psychology behind this is the duration neglect principle, which essentially states that the length of time of an experience does not influence our memory of it. And so this doesn't mean that it's a case of either or with short or long form video. What the white paper has also found is that short form and long form video are best planned together. When in the case of, for the example of the research, TikTok along with TV were planned together, what we found was there was an additional 5.5% increase in sales of the two media run together. That's 1.5 times other digital platforms. And the final finding of the white paper is that this impact and this attention quality can be had across the marketing funnel. So I'm going to share with you a few examples of how brands are doing that on TikTok today. This is one of my favorite TikToks from the past year. This TikTok won an ad award, a TikTok ad award last year. It's from Little Bakery. It's an awareness driving campaign. It's a really native piece of creative. It's so right for our platform and it had major impact too. Butter croissants have my heart forever. Key line from that. But just really nice, really fun, just a great creative idea. In terms of driving consideration, I really like this example, which came from Nescafe. A great way of just showing a different way of using an existing product and driving consideration amongst customers who might not necessarily drink instant coffee, but might drink iced coffee. And so what they did here is they showcase a recipe using the product that then drives that additional consideration. Oh. And when it comes to driving action, I've almost given away there. I can think of no better example than this video from TikTok user Haley, who quite literally jumped on a plane after seeing a video that she saw on TikTok. There you go. And you can really see the power of sound there in that TikTok too. Now, I'm really excited to be joined on the stage by Tiago Carrera, who's the H&M client lead over at Publicis. We're going to have a discussion about short form video and the role that it has across attention and full funnel too. Thank you, Tiago.
How you doing? All right, yeah. Busy start to the year. I feel like everybody in this room probably feeling it too. So yeah, looking forward to summer.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that, definitely. Well, we're really glad that you're here with us, Tiago. Thank you so much. We've spoken a lot about attention today. I'd just love to hear how you're thinking about attention in the planning work that you're close to at the moment.
Yeah, so I think for us, to be honest, attention is really what marketing's always been about, right? I think we just called it by other names. You referenced like eyeballs. And I think it's really useful as a planning tool. So at Zenith, we developed a tool to deal with the media fragmentation that's really started to complicate traditional reach planning. It's called Right Reach, and the way that it works, essentially, you take a few different metrics, of which attention norms for channels is one of them. And it gives you a different way of thinking about how to actually plan media delivery in a fragmented world where people are consuming lots of different touch points in lots of different devices. I think that kind of asymmetric advantage is really the promise of attentions, what's got us excited in planning, because it allows you to kind of find value in places where maybe other people aren't looking for it. So that's really, I think, the best use that we've seen.
Yeah, it's a really interesting way of actually tackling that problem of fragmentation, actually starting to cut through. So really interesting planning tool there. And I mean, you do work across the marketing funnel for H&M, and I know publicists more broadly do as well. How are you using short form video, and how are you guys thinking about it at the moment?
Yeah, so I think of short form video really as like the standard ad unit for digital media. So you consider like how much of digital consumption nowadays is mobile. It's the majority for most audiences. And of that, the vast majority is actually video. So really, like when you think of the plethora of creative formats that exist, I think the one that we treat as like the preeminent one is the short form video. So the shorthand really is like you should be thinking about it, especially when speaking to younger audiences and the way you've traditionally thought about your TV ad. And that means if your creative idea or your creative platform doesn't work for short form video, it probably needs rethinking.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Yeah, short form video at the core. Absolutely. And from the work that you see, I guess related to that as well, what are some of the misconceptions that might exist around short form video?
Yeah, to be honest, there's loads. I think you touched on a few of them. I think that one around impact in view length is the one that I think I've seen for the longest amount of time. And I think that is still one that holds true. Most of the sort of misconceptions, I think, come around comparing long form and short form. And I think that comparison tends to be done on just a pure like video length comparison. And what people tend to miss is the fact that there is also a media delivery element to it. And I think that media delivery element is what really makes short form so powerful, right? So on the one hand, there is the difference in quality of attention that you kind of touched on there, but there's also like the algorithmic element and the fact that there is a cheaper cost. So the reach and frequency you can achieve through short form on top of what you're doing through your TV buys is really, really powerful, but it also allows you to run variations. So what you kind of lose in the video length that you get with a traditional sort of long form video ad, you actually gain from the fact that you can run multiple variations and they're algorithmically sort of disseminated to your audience on a one-to-one level. So it's really based on which of the creatives is most likely to have a response from that audience. And I think that is a big miss that people tend to make. And fundamentally, the way that we see it is that really, you know, especially in the UK, in most instances, the spine of your media plan should probably be TV. But actually, there's reach that you just can't get without short form. So it is probably the critical element that you build on top of that when you're trying to think about the MassCom plan. And really, I think for us, the point that you made around really the combination of long form and short form video, I think that is kind of at the crux of how to get the most out of it.
Yeah, I think it's a really key point from the research, isn't it? That it's not just a case of, well, you know, they have different roles and actually they're best utilized together. I think it's a really important message to stress, really, that that's a great planning practice. And we've now got the research that reinforces that. So it's great to see. I mean, related to that as well, we spoke about full funnel as well and how short form video can play that role for varying different objectives. I'd love to get your thoughts on how H&M and maybe publicists a bit more broadly are using short form video across the funnel.
Yeah, so we're thinking about this a lot. I think, to be honest, there's kind of two big things. The first one is, I think creative execution, there's still a big gap between how most brands are executing long form video versus short form video. And I think especially when you think about using video to deliver on different objectives, thinking about how to use short form video and the execution in that space is really, really critical. So that's kind of one of the things that's taking up a lot of our time. But the other way is really, I think, an attribution question, right? So I think a big part of the reason why sort of lower funnel ads look the way they look is because of the way we've traditionally measured them, right? And last click kind of pushes you to doing a particular type of ad, which I think really we're kind of mostly guilty of all doing in this room, I imagine, as marketers. And I think we've kind of lost sight of the fact that like every ad fundamentally is a brand ad. And when you're running performance ads that are really about getting clicks, sometimes they're actually hurting the perception of the brand, and especially the category that you might be in. Certainly in fashion, a lot of these creatives, I don't think, are necessarily additive to the perception of consumers, to the perception of the brand in the mind of consumers. So exploring how video can be used from a performance perspective is really key. And I think actually the complications that we're having with attribution nowadays, because of the loss of signals that we have and the push towards privacy, is actually a really good upside, because as we start to measure the impact of those ads in different ways, I think we'll start seeing that you can run what we would traditionally think of as brand ads in the performance space, and you get an incremental uplift on sales, right? If you look at it from an MMM perspective, your TV ads are probably the ones that are paying back the biggest ROI. There is no reason why the same shouldn't be true in a short-term view. With the short form ads that you're running, right? Fundamentally, it is about engaging audiences in the platforms where they're at with the best kind of creative you can run. And to our mind, that probably is short form video on mobile.
Yeah, and we see it a lot on TikTok as well. I mean, when, for example, when we look at a 7-day post view as opposed to a last click attribution window, then we see a huge uptick in terms of the conversions that come through from TikTok. And I think a lot of the conversations we have with our clients are encouraging them to look at incrementality testing, encouraging them to look at different attribution windows, and also leveraging MMMs. It is more complicated, but I think once you start combining those different measurement solutions, you do start actually understanding the different role that short form video can play.
Absolutely. And I think the really nice opportunity there is, because it is a little bit more complex and it is a little bit more high friction, it means that not everybody is doing it. So if you do it, again, that's where you get the asymmetric advantages in your planning, and you can start to find pockets of value that other people just aren't tapping into. So yeah,
it's a really good point, definitely. And last question, what's working for H&M, especially in terms of getting results? Is there any work that you're particularly proud of, or even across the publicist group, actually, anything that you're really, really proud of?
Yeah, so we haven't got any case studies with you guys published yet, so I'm not going to reference any specific work soon. But I think really for us, the sort of fundamental work was around cross-media measurement. So we worked a lot with Nielsen over the past few years, really just establishing some of the points that you kind of touched on there from a broader perspective in a specific H&M context around just the ability to drive incremental reach through short form video on digital platforms, above and beyond what we're doing in TV and some of the more traditional above the line media. I think that is kind of necessary for you to be able to establish the trust within the business that actually this is an area that we should be investing into. More recently, work with creators. I think it is the quickest way for a brand to accelerate the diversity of thinking and content that you're able to produce, especially at scale. But also just the rate of learning, right? Like, we have internal creative teams, and those teams really benefit from having some of that outside in thinking. So I would highly recommend everybody that is thinking about how to get the most out of short form video, like, look at the people who are doing it well, and that tends to be creators.
Yeah, creators can be such a great way, a particularly entry point, can't they, to do that. And we can help as TikTok, we can also support on that as well. So please do come to us if that's something that you're working on. I think that's all we've got time for. So Tiago, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.